Lowe's has all the supplies you need to get your home spring ready, inside and out. Shop Ego, the number one rated brand in cordless outdoor power. Plus, renew for the season with select cleaning essentials for under $10. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
We have everything you might want for the end of winter. Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Our lives are laid out on a road of bumps, turns, struggles, and more. How do we respond? How do we endure adversity for learning and growth? I'm Aubrey Johnson, and we'll explore these questions and more on The Road to Rediscovery.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Road to Rediscovery. I'm your host, Aubrey Johnson. The Road to Rediscovery is about reflecting on life lessons to learn and grow from them, and of course, pay it forward and uplift others who are struggling through dark times. My special guest is a communication scholar, researcher, and author of the newly released book, Good Daughtering, The Work You've Always Done, The Credit You've Never Gotten, and How to Finally Feel Like Enough. She's the leading expert on the unspoken role of the adult daughter, the invisible emotional glue of families, and the toll of being good that it takes on women's sense of identity and worth. She's also the owner and operator of the coaching and consulting firm, Good Talk Communication Coaching. Ladies and gentlemen, let's please welcome Dr. Allison Alford to the show. Dr. Alford, it's so great to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I think this is such a great place to talk about how to rediscover yourself inside your family, and particularly for the women doing the invisible work.
Oh, 100%. I couldn't agree more. And I think when you and I chatted some weeks ago, I think I may have mentioned a personal investment that I have, or vesting that I have with my family dynamic, particularly my sister being in the whole mix. So I don't know, in a selfish way, I may throw one or two questions out regarding that type of scenario. But if you can just start us off here, if you don't mind, by just sharing with us what inspired you to pursue, study, and raise awareness on this mostly unsung family dynamic.
When I was earning my PhD, my doctorate degree, this was over 10 years ago, I was studying family communication, family dynamics, and I was reading a lot about all the different important roles that people play. I was also reading a lot about the things that can go wrong or kind of, you know, be broken in families, in relationships. And I realized I wanted to think about what goes right and what's kind of normal or everyday or typical. And, you know, as I was looking around, I was like, okay, there's stuff out there about parenting, and it's how hard it is and yet how rewarding it is. And there's stuff out there about marriage and friendship, and yet I wasn't seeing anything that reflected what daughters do in families. And I, at that time, I was an adult daughter with my own kids, with a spouse, with parents, with, you know, aunts and uncles and grandparents, and just sort of thought, this is a missing piece of the conversation. And why, you know, and that made me think, why is that? And that seems to be a problem. So that's what got me started really investigating it and eventually led to me writing a book on it.
That's amazing. And, you know, one of the things I was thinking of as you were explaining this, Dr. Alford, is in a lot of families, you hear about the father who owned the business and the son being the heir apparent, following in his father's footsteps, owning the business, or the father who was in the military, served for the country, and the son or sons, you know, following their father's footsteps and so forth. So much attention on that. And like you said, with daughters and the role that daughters play, and there is like in a huge, huge emotional type of leverage or presence, I guess, that that daughters have as that emotional glue. I've seen that kind of come to life personally with my family and my I have two sisters, but the older of the two, she's 3 years younger than me, but she's the oldest daughter of the family, and just seeing it's a lot of similarities and a lot of things and where she falls into place as you're describing here. So let me ask you, if you don't mind, is there a particular characteristic or a trait of the adult daughter that kind of sets herself apart from her siblings? I mean, you know, if she has siblings, is she more organized? Is she more accessible? Is she more emotionally available? Or is there something else? I mean, what characteristic kind of, I don't know if she's anointed that or makes her kind of fall into that type of role?
Yeah. You know, as you were talking about this sort of archetypal son and the big adventure of life that he goes on, I was thinking about how, you know, the stories that we tell about family and about family life are often these monumental big things, a big choice or a big adventure or a big reward or a big success. And many of our family stories are about men. They're about the thing that the father did to carry the family line or to bring everyone forward. And even though some of those things are a one and done, you know, like you do. And I think men are often prized for achievement and legacy carrying. Mm-hmm. And yet what's happening quietly behind the scenes is that women are in touch, you know, high touch every day with the members of the family, with the work of connecting, the work of, you know, worrying, thinking, planning, preventing problems. And, you know, that is what my research showed, was that that's pretty universal for any daughter, that daughters do daughtering. And that doesn't mean that everybody is the same level of effectiveness or that we all do it the same.
Right.
But, you know, it really is cultural, especially in the United States, that women have, there's an expectation on women to care, to try to care, to try to be personable. And I think, you know, when we think about the eldest daughter, she often ends up doing a little bit more than that, because even when she was a child, she was expected to do these caring behaviors. So she, you know, so she learns really early on that that's a value, that she receives praise and value for that. Whereas young men often learn that they receive praise for some sort of, you know, like I said, adventuring or big achievement. And so one of the parts of understanding daughtering is understanding it as a systematic cultural experience over a lifetime. And of course, that means it shifts and changes generationally or where we live or the type of family that we have. But really just noticing this is just happening, and women have these expectations, but we haven't really had a lot of language for discussing kind of the ups and downs and the ins and outs of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is what you bring to the table to, you know, to start that conversation. Number one, bring awareness, and then two, start the conversation, because I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm tracking you properly. One of the objectives of having this conversation and bringing it to light could be certain feelings that this eldest daughter or daughter may be having in terms of responsibility or burden, or just things that is thrown her way that she didn't ask for, you know, and that because family members or other members kind of assume, because she's taking this on and doing this and doing that, that it's what she wants, and she just kind of falls into this role. And so there should be a conversation to bring awareness, talk about it, and try to see how maybe siblings can help and support and have some more empathy. Is that part of the awareness?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. You know, so I wrote the book. Here mm-hmm. it is. It's bright pink. And I think of it as having several different things that it offers women who read it, and men who want to understand the women in their lives and and this process better.
Yes.
But the first part is, let's just name it. Let's call it out. Let's see this work. Let's make it visible by saying, that's important. When you think ahead, when you plan, when you send money, when you soothe and smooth, when you act as the emotional barometer, mm-hmm. that is a valuable gift that you're giving to the family. And, you know, and I think then it moves to the second part, which is, okay, so now that you've seen it, you are an agent of change.
Right.
You don't have to feel stuck. You don't have to feel like this is inevitable.
That's right.
And that there's only one way to do family and somebody else is sort of in charge and you've just gotten stuck in a loop. Mm-hmm. So the second part is like deciding, who do I want to be? What makes a good life? What makes a good daughter?
Right.
I'm going to define it and begin to put some, you know, some qualifications on that that makes sense to me.
Right.
And
right.
then the last part is actually doing it. How to talk to your siblings, how to talk to your parent, how to say no.
Yes.
And, you know, boundaries. A lot of this, I have a sister. I also have a sister. So I have an older sister, and she's been amazing as I've worked through some of this stuff over the past 10 years.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of siblings can be very, you know, competitive, or they can feel bitter about each other.
Yes.
And I mean, we probably did have some of that at some point, but somewhere along the way, while we were having conversations and I was sharing with her about the interviews and the research, we decided instead to be partners. And what that meant is that she was going to cover some things and I was going to cover some things. And we were going to agree that the things she covers, that's valuable. She doesn't have to cover anything else. Mm-hmm. And what I cover, we're going to agree is valuable. And I'm just so grateful for that, because, you know, most of what I do is like phone calls and emotional talk, or sometimes I even bring up the difficult subjects.
Yeah.
And so if my sibling wasn't willing to see that as an important contribution,
right,
then it could feel really lonely, you know, out on your own doing these things.
Yes, no, 100%. And it sounds as if now, with what you and your sister agreed to, that, you know, you're not having this adversarial type of competitive, who is one upping over the other.
Except for the hat. It's a joke, really.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father. Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Favorite daughter.
Favorite daughter. Oh, I like that. Yeah. Joke, really. Yeah. No, I like the hat. I love the pink. The pink theme with it. I mean, it's great, you know, and it's cute. It's funny. I mean, I like that. And I know it's just a joke, but
you know, this topic is for men too. It's yes, not it just, and I think that's what you're saying is that you found an entry point into this as well. Even though you are not the daughter, right, you know, a daughter, you love a daughter, you know, 100%. And that makes it part your responsibility to understand this also.
Yes, it definitely does. And I think in our conversation when we talked weeks and months ago, this is my quote, little selfish part here, but hopefully that, you know, we can share something that the listeners can relate to. I have a brother and two sisters, so four kids, right? Two boys, two girls. The older of the two sisters, she is the one who really steps forward and takes the initiative to do things like, she organizes the annual Mother's Day trip to Vegas where her and our mom go. Now, you know, my other siblings and I, we're not able to go all the time. So we contribute by, you know, giving money to my sister and our mother as, you know, as a gift. Happy Mother's Day, you know, along with a card, enjoy your time there. And sometimes we're able to go, sometimes we're not. But my sister organizes all of this. My sister, who still is in contact with neighborhood friends and neighbors that we grew up with in the neighborhood that none of us even live in anymore. You know, she still organizes like her own birthday party because she's single, no kids, has her own house. And so, you know, she's still friends with those people from the neighborhood growing up. She still organizes parties and gatherings at her house with the friends we grew up in our neighborhood. If I want to see them again, I can go to her house for one of these events, you know? And so she's still like that glue. And guess what? My mother, as a daughter, she's not the eldest daughter, but my mother, as one of seven daughters, her parents had seven daughters, one son. It's the daughters that make the effort to connect. They live in Augusta, Georgia. My mother lives in Cincinnati. They make the effort to connect. They make the effort to see each other, go on cruises, go to Vegas. They love bingo, so they get together on bingo charter trips, you know, and you know, I have male cousins, I have uncles, and I'm not seeing that, and I guess I'm not doing that either as much or as frequent as, you know, our female counterparts, yeah, mothers and daughters and sisters, you know.
I think, you know, that's what some of the recent research has been saying, is that there's a loneliness epidemic for men. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think that, you know, we might say, well, maybe women are just naturally better at it and men are naturally not. I think instead, it's more effective to recognize that daughters, or as little girls, we begin to get nudges or suggestions or reminders to do these type of connecting behaviors.
Yeah.
And, you know, little boys may get some of those or a few of those, right? Like it's mm-hmm. time for your annual birthday comes around and it's like, hey, do you want to invite some guys over for a sleepover?
Right, right. But
it just exponentially so many more times for young girls. Mm-hmm. And then when you're around your peers, you see them doing it. And so over time, women just become very skilled at it. And it's a skill of noticing, preparing, planning, expecting, inviting. And what I've seen in some men is that that's almost, once you get to adulthood, if you don't already have this like frat bro group set up, cousin group, it feels almost embarrassing. It's almost cringe. Like, will you come hang out with me?
Yeah.
And and it's because, you know, and I think that generationally we may see that changing. I think that lower, you know, younger millennials and upper Gen Z are showing us a lot more camaraderie, especially in men. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't just magically appear, right? No, beautiful to hear you praise your sister for doing that and value it, because honestly, that's a big part of what daughters need. We don't necessarily need to stop doing it. We're not necessarily so fed up with it, we're trying to get rid of daughtering. Right. But it's just so nice to have a society that says, I see that. That took time and energy and effort. Yes. And I am grateful for it, because it keeps our family connected, and I 100%. Like my family. So thank you for doing that.
Absolutely. It has to be recognized, you know? And I've tried to play the advocate of pulling together my other siblings to say, hey, you know, let's give her a hand, you know, where she may need some help. The sisters live in Cincinnati with our mother. My brother lives in Indianapolis. I live in Texas. So, you know, geographically, my sister's there to take my mother to, you know, different places. And, you know, when she needs transportation or when she needs help with something, you know, and obviously, you know, if we could do it from across the mile some way, whatever that help is needed, we do that in support, right? So it definitely needs to be recognized in a big way. So and I noticed you mentioned earlier, Dr. Alford, you know, we kind of, when women are little girls, they kind of pick up on, you know, on a sense to write this down, organize this, and connect with this person and that person, you know, and it kind of builds and cultivates over the years. Mm-hmm. I want to know, like, at what point does it kind of fall into that role to where it seems more present to the family members? I mean, is this something that is common where the adult daughter kind of feels this more so, say, in middle ages, where she's caught between taking care of children and taking care of parents when they reach like a more of a senior age, or at what point in their lives do they kind of feel like this weight?
Mm-hmm. You know, there are a couple of important things to say, which is that one of the theories we have in communication studies is the idea of social construction. So rather than saying like, we're just born this way, instead we're saying each little experience is a building block towards the life that you have. So in my family with one sibling, each day that I do something and repeat that same behavior or do it again, or I get the birthday gift or I help fill the stocking.
Yes.
Well, then my sibling is like, oh, well, I don't have to do it. And so then it just, we diverge in this way, and that happens over time. And it tends to happen, you know, that we also feel rewarded for certain behaviors and not others. So we repeat those. And that is then what we call becoming scripts. Right. And so there's this great researcher called Goffman, who wrote about how every role is like, it's like doing a play.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I'm in my role, mm-hmm. I have sort of a presumed script of how I'm supposed to behave. So, for example, I am not a firefighter. But if I were just to go play a firefighter for a day or volunteer, I already have some ideas of what firefighters do, how they talk to each other, how they say, where you sit, where, you know, what clothing you wear. Mm-hmm. And we are people who follow these scripts. And if I'm following my script, then you're like, oh, well, I'm not going to do your script. That's your role. I'm this other character over here.
Yeah.
So we get better and better and better at our scripts over time, which is why we often feel, I think, as daughters, that we get stuck in some things. Mm. Like, why am I the only one who ever remembers to do the photo album?
Yeah.
Why am I the only one who, you know, who ever gets us together for, you know, the family reunion,
right,
or always remembers dad's favorite lemon cake or something. And we notice the things that we do over and over and over again. So we get a little frustrated by that. Certainly there are times in life where it becomes more difficult or critical or chronic or painful to try to squeeze in all of our scripts.
Yeah.
And for women who are, you know, career driven, and you've got this big career, well, it's going to be hard to do as much daughtering as you might want to if you have a career, and then add a spouse or a partner, add you know, children, or it, and it doesn't just have to be family members that you add. It almost the same thing if I was like, hey, I'm gonna run for mayor this year, that would be a big thing in my life that would squeeze down my other roles.
That's a great point. Yeah.
So it's not necessarily the same trajectory across the lifespan for everyone, but more to the point that we all do encounter those seasons in our life where we're squeezed a little bit too much and we can't do some other thing. But you know, not every woman is a mother. Not every woman is married or has a partner. And so I think it's unfair to spend too much time relating to those and just saying, but everybody has a life and things they're interested in and things they're spending their time on that squeeze us in certain seasons.
Yeah.
And of course, as our parents age and their needs change, our daughtering has to also change to reflect that.
Understood. Understood. So with one of the areas you just touched on, saying that not all daughters are married, not all daughters are mothers, I'm wondering, is there a pattern or a difference at all in this daughtering, adult-daughter idea, in the dynamic of a of that daughter growing up in a single parent family versus having both parents? Or could it very well happen in either scenario?
Well, the daughtering is happening as long as you're a daughter. So, you know, but when you have lots of parents, so if you have two parents or you have step parents or you have in-laws, you know, your daughtering has to multiply, or maybe it has to divide a little bit.
Yeah.
I think there are some very specific cases where there are unique pressures. And one of the
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
I was like, one of my best friends is an only child who is also therefore the only daughter. Mm-hmm. And so she's not just the only daughter with brothers or step siblings.
Right.
She's the only one. And it is a really uniquely stressful position that has had her thinking for decades, what am I going to do? What's the need? What's the financial need? Can I put money aside? How often can I go? It impacted whether she decided to even have children, because she thought, what if I can't juggle all of these things and all of these people's needs, and I don't want to let anyone down? And so I think that it is important to say each family situation has different stressors on it.
Yeah.
You know, divorced parents, that's going to have different stressors on it. Like, let's say you go to get married and you now have divorced parents who are also maybe remarried, and you have to think of who goes where and who sits where and how they talk to each other. Well, that's its own stressor of daughtering. And it's not that you're the only one, but it also doesn't apply to everyone. So what we see in daughtering is that there's a commonality that we're all doing it, but also family to family, it can look uniquely different. In the same way, mothering or parenting or lawn mowing can look different. You know, it's the same thing family to family, and yet house to house, it can look quite different. You know, so that's, I think, one way to notice it, but to also embrace that it's okay to do it in your own way. And it's also okay to say, my particular family has unique stressors that other people may not understand.
Got it. Yeah. I mean, like snowflakes, they're all different, and there's no cookie cutter type of look from family to family when it comes to this dynamic, but there's a lot of similarities as well, to your point. I really appreciate that clarification, Dr. Alford. That really kind of spells it out. Regardless of the source coming up from a single parent, both parents, or, you know, both parents and then divorce, like you mentioned earlier, for the benefit of our listeners, can you give us a description or kind of explain to us what is emotional labor?
What was that? Emotional what?
Labor.
Labor. Okay. Yes, for sure. Well, so let me start with what I consider daughtering is, and that is, daughtering is the often invisible mental, emotional, logistical, and identity labors that that adult women do to keep families connected. And often we're doing so much more than we noticed until we're all of a sudden burnt out.
Yeah.
And so daughtering in my book includes, or, you know, in my way of thinking, includes different types of labor. Mm-hmm. And so mental and emotional and task labor and identity labor. Those are the four different kinds of labor. Okay. So mental labor is stuff that's on your mind. They have to think about, plan. You're the CEO. I always call it being the cruise director. You know, who's going where? What time? Are you on the Lido deck? Oh, be sure to stop by and get your dessert.
Yeah.
Emotional labor is really about trying to help others feel good about themselves or feel a certain way. So it's managing conflict, or if you're sitting at a table and you could tell everyone's grumpy, or you feel like something's about to pop off and somebody's gonna go, you know, at each other, you're the one trying to be like the weather vane. You're trying to be the emotional barometer to cool everyone down and to shut the door on that topic. And, you know, by the time you leave that dinner table, you're like, oh, because you were looking and monitoring and thinking and preparing.
Yes.
But there's so many different elements of emotional labor, because the other thing that women do is sometimes we try to make ourselves feel a certain way because we feel like we're supposed to. Mm-hmm. So maybe we're heading over to grandma's house for a big, you know, 4th of July catfish dinner or something like that. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to go. These people are whatever. And I say to myself, no, change your attitude, Allison.
Yeah.
Fix yourself up, get in the right mindset and get there. That's emotional labor, you know, to even make myself think and feel a certain kind of way.
Yeah.
And these particular types of labor, like mental, emotional, and identity labor. Identity would be like carrying the family legacy and remembering traditions and remembering to bring this, you know, the special dessert.
Yeah.
They're invisible because they're not done out loud. They're done inside me. And a lot of times the things that women do, that daughters do, they prevent a problem from happening. So we definitely don't see them because the problem never happened and then didn't have to get fixed.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a lot of tension, and it can be a lot of, you know, what we call our resources are drained. Like, we only have so much battery.
That's right.
Women are just running down our battery doing these things. But when we talk about it, like you and I are doing right now, or by reading a book and talking about it, we make those things visible. We make them seem more special. Like, yeah, that's a skill. Great job. Thank you. And we honor the beautiful role of being a daughter in a family, you know, because it might start by this kind of pain point, like, oh, it's so hard. But I hope that by the end of the conversation, you end up saying, it's hard, but I'm good at it. I like it. These people need me. And I, you know, I'm glad I'm here to do it. We just want to see it and acknowledge it. And then, you know, feel like we have choice to make changes or shifts to make it more comfortable to do our daughtering job.
I see. You know, one of the last things I would ever want to see in, you know, for any daughter, okay, is for this to be acknowledged almost when it's too late, right? I mean, God forbid, I mean, I don't want to lose my sister any sooner than, you know, her time is, or the God says her time is, but to not acknowledge the energy that she has expended, to your point earlier, you know, resources are drained, or we only have so much in the battery. The time to recognize and acknowledge them and give them the respect and the appreciation and gratefulness that they deserve for being the one with the ability to build community within our family and to sustain it, it has to happen while they're still with us.
And you know, I think that there's such a beauty in what you're talking about is acknowledging something, saying thanks, saying, hey, I see what you did there. And recently I had, you know, a peer tell me that she read the book and she decided that she was going to call up her sister-in-law. And she and her sister-in-law don't talk or have a relationship, not a strong one, you know?
Right.
And so when the sister-in-law picked up the phone, the first thing was like, is something wrong? Because they never call each other.
Yeah.
And this friend of mine said, nothing's wrong. I just was reading this book and I wanted to call you and say, thank you for everything you've been doing with the in-laws, which were the sister-in-law's parents, but my friend's in-laws.
Yes.
Her husband's parents. And so she said that this sister-in-law burst into tears and was like, that is so meaningful. And, you know, and it was not, it didn't have to be a long conversation. No. It wasn't designed to fix anything between the two of them or, you know, change that.
Sure.
It just was acknowledging, like, here's this thing. And I'm glad you're doing it. And I think too, that sometimes the other thing we can do is give our sibling permission to stop doing things.
You
want to be helpful to your sister. And my sister's very helpful with this too. Sometimes I'll say like, I don't want to do that thing, but I feel guilty. And she'll be like, nope, don't feel guilty. Just stop doing that.
Yeah.
And, you know, calling up your sibling who does a lot of daughtering and saying, I want to see you stop doing three things and give that time back to yourself. And then find out what she comes up with. What does she say she's going to stop doing? And now either it just gets stopped and you never do it again, or maybe you pick it up, or maybe another sibling or another in-law picks it up. But first, just giving somebody permission that they don't have to do everything just because they can see what needs to be done. Daughters are often like that. We see what could be done. We see what needs to be done. And then we feel like, well, I guess I have to do it. And we carry so much.
So much.
And it can be really helpful to have somebody say, you know, girl, put that down. It's okay. Yeah. Nobody needs you to do it. We weren't expecting anyone to do it. And letting her pick which things she wants to stop doing or not stop doing. And I think that that's better in some ways than calling and saying, what can I help you with?
Yeah.
Because if you're helping her, she's still the owner of that task, you know, and you're
that's her helper. True.
And yeah. So you're either going to take something and it'll be your task and you'll own it beginning to end,
yeah.
or you're just encouraging her to put it down fully so that she no longer has to do one whole task beginning to end.
Yes, that's an amazing clarification, right? Because, and thank you for pointing that out, because, you know, I'm thinking in my head, okay, what other ways can we support? How can we support?
Yeah.
An acknowledgement obviously is one.
Yeah.
But you brought up another great one by think of two or three. I wrote it down as you were saying yeah. it. Think of two or three things that you would like off your plate or can take off your plate and, you know, I'll handle them, or yeah. between your, you know, your other siblings, we'll handle them. Right.
Yeah.
And that's different than how can I help you with this? Because to your yeah. point, she's still the owner, or at least it's interpreted that way, probably yeah. at how she receives it. And you're not really taking the task yeah. from her, you know, freeing up her plate a little bit. So
yeah.
that's a huge difference right there. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a really great book called Fair Play mm-hmm. by Eve Rodsky. And it's really much more about men and women, like husbands and wives with children, and how to divvy up the tasks. And she even has like a card game that goes with it.
Yeah.
But part of the overall point of the book is this idea that women often own a lot of the tasks. And so even though their husbands may come along and help them,
right.
as soon as that help is completed in that one instance, it's back on the mom's plate.
Right,
and
right.
And that a really, really efficient or an effective way to be a partner is to take the whole task beginning yes. to end. Oh, so
this podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first stepfather, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Yes.
You know, if that's like, if your mom needs glasses, and then that means if she has to see the eye doctor, and there's insurance payments, and there's fittings, and there's blah, blah, blah. And so if you're going to help with eyeglasses, it would be all of it. And, you know, and they take responsibility from start to finish, and
yes.
then nobody else has to check on you.
Yes.
So, you know, maybe that works. I don't know that it always does work as efficiently as we would like it to when we live across the country. And,
right.
you know, you're not going to be able to just go over there to take her to the eye doctor. Right.
Right.
But maybe there are some things that you could do or that your sibling could come up with, and you can be a listener and be willing to try some things or to brainstorm sure. brand yeah. new things that you could own start to finish.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we can also say that men are capable and are very generous and loving and can do excellent sunning, but we have to have that conversation too and start that expectation too.
Yes.
And then, you know, so no shade to men that the book isn't about sunning. I'd love to see that happening more and more in our cultural conversation.
Yes. And thank you for that as well, because your book, the way I'm receiving it, and I think if I'm tracking you properly, the way that we want the listeners to fully understand, okay, sure, it talks about daughters and the uniqueness of the eldest daughter or the adult daughter responsibilities and how things happen and turn in a certain way to where they're the organizers, they're the one, the ringleaders and so forth. But this book is for everyone in the family. It's for men, the fathers, the sons, the sisters, the brothers, the uncles, the aunts, you know, to if you're not a daughter, then the book is still for you to understand the daughter, where the daughter comes from, how and which ways daughters can help and serve themselves when it comes to boundaries, saying no, and still, you know, see into their life, and ways that we as non-daughters, quote unquote, can support and provide help for them and take some of those tasks.
Yeah, you nailed it. It's very thoughtful the way that you describe that. So the book is about understanding the social system that we live in and how it runs on invisible labor. Mm. And one kind of invisible labor is daughters, but there are lots of people in different ways in our society who feel invisible and taken for granted. Mm-hmm. And so it's worth a conversation to be like, why? I haven't ever thought about that. Well, if you've never thought about that, you're living among the privileged who didn't have to think about it. And so we're saying, let's talk about it. And there's probably more conversation and more books to write than what's able to be fleshed out right now, but it's like, how does culture matter? How does generation matter? How does geography matter? How do, you know, governments and politics and policies at work matter for how we support women? And because when we support women and we support families, then we all have families there to hold us up when we need them. And families are really the backbone of our social structure. So we don't want to take that for granted, that they're just magically being built and woven together, but rather that's happening on the back of somebody. And so we want to see it and we want to help with it and we want to change it and advocate for it and be an ally to those who need it. And I think, you know, my family members are great allies. Whenever I go to do daughtering, one of the things I talk about in the book is a daughtering mission statement. And my daughtering mission statement is that, particularly where my mom is concerned, I want her to feel loved when I communicate with her. And I'm not always loving in my tone, in my topics, in my, you know, sometimes I just get prickly or I get annoyed. And I enlist my husband and my teenage children to help me be the best daughter I can be. They come in and they interrupt that cycle, or they support me, or they swoop in and, you know, so that I don't say things that I don't really want to say, but I was getting caught up in the moment. And so we need those partners. We need people to join with us to support our family members, especially as they're aging and changing.
We totally do. And having that humility and self-awareness of yourself to enlist your husband and teenage children, that says a lot about your character in knowing and being aware that you can be like this or come across this way, and, you know, and relying on your family members to kind of keep you in check, and men, we need to be kept in check too, and that sort of thing. But it takes humility of one to realize that. It takes self-awareness of one to realize that. And you certainly do, Dr. Alfred. And one of the things that you just mentioned here that I think you kind of alluded to, I was going to ask, but I think you've given a good example here, is your firm. I was wondering if your firm handles like different types of communication struggles within the family, right?
And so I'd love for people to check out my website, my coaching services related to this topic. You can find that at my website, daughtering101.com, and on socials like Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, at daughtering101. you know, my goal is to find opportunities to be a speaker or to engage with audiences that need a little bit more explanation on this topic. Or, you know, and I come across a lot of women who say, my mom needs this book, but I can't send it to her. Yeah. And, you know, I'm like, okay, I totally understand that. It would seem passive aggressive. So instead, let's get in a workshop together, or let's get in a conference together and practice some of these skills in a really non-threatening way. Yeah. Because I think that the basis of the book is about holding on to each other and trying to hold on to family. But first we have to understand the pitfalls, you know, or the roller coaster of it.
Yes.
And then we can be able to figure out a way through. And that's what I want to help people do.
Oh, that is fantastic. And, you know, I can only think of just how exponentially families will be and can be cultivated and grow and improve and you know, just throughout generations, from generation to generation. You know, when you plant the seed with your clients and they go home to their families taking what they've practiced, or you may talk to the entire family as a client, collective client, right? And about whatever communication struggle that they're having, and it cultivates within them and it gets practiced in their family from generation to generation, It all starts with the seed. And that is definitely what you're planting here. And and like you said earlier, it doesn't just magically appear to keep these connections or to have these connections, right? And it isn't magically sustained either. It's off the backs of these daughters, like you mentioned.
Yeah. And you know, when we engage in conversations like this, I mean, you have a bunch of smart listeners who are willing to reflect and want to grow. And I think that's step number one, is having an open heart and an open mind to rediscovery, to saying, I didn't know that, but now that I do, I'm not going to take that critically or, you know, personally, or feel guilty or shame. I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to be on the road to becoming a better version of me. Yes. It's never too late to do that. It's not necessarily fast or quick, you know, it's small, meaningful shifts over time. And really, there's just so much more in the book that I'd love for your listeners to get a hold of. Good Daughtering. You can buy it anywhere fine books are sold. It's on the shelves at Barnes & Noble right now. It's at Amazon, Books a Million, and probably your local bookstore. And I think that collectively, we're all invested on the same road, which is just trying to be better people in a better society. And that warms my heart that we're all doing this together.
Yes. Likewise, Dr. Alfred, it warms my heart as well. And you know what? We are going to have links to your social mediums, to your contact, your web address, even the link to the book on Amazon, so that listeners can connect with you, get a copy of your book, learn more about your great work while listening to this conversation. Dr. Allison Alford, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, sharing your amazing insights. It's just been a delight, and I hope we can stay in touch and hopefully bring you back on the show in the near future.
I would love that. Thank you so much for the opportunity to discuss this. I really appreciate you.
Oh, well, likewise, we appreciate you as well. And one last thing I want all the listeners to understand, and I empower you. I challenge you to think about who's that daughter in your family, who is the glue, who is the emotionally available that every other family member goes to for confiding or for assistance, who builds and keeps communities together within your family, those Christmas parties, those family reunions, those Vegas trips, if you're my sister. You know, I challenge you to ask yourself, who is that daughter in your family? Reach out to them, recognize them, offer support, and just say, hey, you do matter. And what you're going through and what you're doing all these years is not unnoticed. Oh, this is awesome. Well, look, I want to thank everyone for coming on and tuning into this show. And look, in these days of our struggles and adversities, we may think that we are alone and that there's no hope at all. We feel like we've reached that end of our rope. But the truth in it is that we are not alone, and hope is always around the corner. I humbly ask that you please share this show with someone you know, someone you love, who needs motivation, inspiration, and support. And you know, when it comes down to it, we're all just roadies on this journey of life. And it sure feels good having you on the road with me. Thanks again for listening. We'll chat again soon. We really hope you enjoyed this episode of The Roads Rediscovery. We'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at roadsrediscoverypodcast@gmail.com and leave us any questions or comments you may have.
Want consistent color for every job? Mylo's Pro Rewards members get a 20% paint discount on future purchases after paint annual qualifying spend reaches $3,000. Plus, order eligible in-stock paint and paint supplies by 2 p.m. for free same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Improving is easy at Lowe's. Excludes spray paint and mist tints. More exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Subject to change. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Same-day delivery valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. Details at Lowe's.com/same-day delivery.